One of the things I love about this season is getting the opportunity to get into the Christmas story. It's actually one of my favorite things as a pastor, that we just get to spend some time talking about why we do and why we talk about what we talk about. And he is the reason for the season. And so we're just gonna dive right in this morning to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Which is the story of Mary, and we're just going to kind of open the door, so we're going to read it together, and then we're going to jump in. So verse 26, here it is. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." The New King James says, "What was impossible with man is possible with God." Verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Have you ever had something that you didn't realize the importance of, or that you didn't realize the value of? You know, one of my favorite shows growing up was the show about, it was called the Antique Roadshow. And so these people would come and they would bring, you know, something that they found in their basement, or a great aunt gave it to them, and they would bring it, and the guy would, you know, evaluate it, and he would kind of tell them little bits and pieces, and then he goes, "Do you guys know how much this is worth?" And they're like, "You know, maybe like 15 bucks. And he's like, "No, it's like $50,000. And they'd start crying, and I'm like, "Where is that? Why has not my great aunt given me something like that?" And I love it because these people don't realize the value of what they have. I remember as a kid, my other grandfather left me this picture frame that had all of these coins. It was the bicentennial, and so it started with like the original coin and kind of went up, and some of them were fake, but some of them were real. And I remember taking it apart, because that's what you do when you're 14, and you want to see what everything looks like, and you want to touch and feel them. And so I took them apart, and now I'm missing some of them. But thank you to Derek Gradwell, he actually got me some to fill back in. But you don't realize what you have. I remember when we first got married, and the adventure of just that right there, when you first get married. And we got into our first house, and I was so excited because in this house, we lived in a converted garage, and I didn't get to go outside and do anything in the yard because they had a service. But when we first got our house that we were renting, it needed the yard to be taken care of. And I was like, "Yes, this is what a man does. My dad told me, and this is what he showed me." And so I get to get out there and trim and work on, which I've never really trimmed before. But, you know, this is what you should do. And the reason why my wife liked this house was because of the big bushes. And the big bushes that surrounded the house. Well, I got out there, and I was like, "Man, these bushes look annoying." And so I went and got the loppers, and I literally brought, I mean, these bushes were to the roof. And I brought them all down. Some of them I pulled out, and the rest I brought to little nubbins. And I ran into the house, and I was like, you know, as I got this giant pile that I have to now deal something with. But I didn't care, because now you could see the house. And I was like, "Man, you know, it's all about seeing the house." And so I walked inside, and I was like, "Babe, you got to come out and see what I did." And she runs outside and goes around the corner and begins to cry. You know, when you're first married, there's things that you just don't understand. And so I'm like, babe. And she goes, why did you cut that down? I'm like, well, because it was blocking the whole house. Like, people want to see the house, not a crazy bush going everywhere. Little did I know that that was her favorite flower, and it only blooms once a year, and it was about to bloom right before I cut it down. And it was a hydrangea bush. Who knew? And so I chopped it down, and she's like, babe, that was my favorite flower. Sometimes you have no idea what you really have, and you really kind of don't take advantage of it. Well, in this story, something interesting to me takes place. As the angel comes to Mary and he says something about her, he calls her favored. Greetings, favored woman. And what's interesting is the narrator then says she was confused and disturbed. Now, I get that if you had an angel in front of you and no matter what the angel said, you would be disturbed. I would be like, what is going on? What if I said, Jesus is coming back. I'm going home right now. I mean, already I would be freaked out. So I get the disturbed part. But the confused is actually in the address of who she is. He says, woman who is favored. So what's interesting is she's confused by this term, which I think sometimes we actually live in a place where we don't realize what we have. That just because our circumstances tell us one thing, it doesn't mean that the favor of God is not upon us. But the reason that maybe sometimes it's confusing is because we equate favor with ease. We equate favor with just getting in the front of the line or everything working out. And so we say to somebody, dude, I'm just favored, driving it like I stole it. I mean, what can you do when God favors you, man? And there, and then and the problem is that we then compare. Well, how come God's got more favor on that person than he does on me? And we don't realize that actually the word favor in the context of the story, which I believe God wants to speak to us, is favor is not just everything works out, but actually it's the revealing of God's will to us. Because that's exactly what happens. He says, hello, favored one. Don't be afraid, for you are favored of the Lord. And then he begins to progress into, this is what God is about to do, and he's chosen you to be a part of it. That is what favor is. So that way you can be at the front of the line or the back of the line, be in the best situation or the worst situation, and you're still favored because God wants to show what he wants to do. So I want to change the perspective of the way we view favor, because if that's the case, then she would be like, no, I'm actually not favored. You just ruined my life. You're telling me that, number one, I'm not married, and yet I'm going to be pregnant, and you realize I got to tell all of my family that I'm pregnant, and it wasn't from Joseph, and then that's already going to be a weird conversation as it is. And so not only is the idea of favored not just stuff working out, but actually that no matter where you are, God revealing his will so that you can see, no matter what's going on, that you are favored because God has chosen you to reveal what he's doing. So what I love about this is, in the context of the uncomfortability of what's about to happen, the angel Gabriel begins to bring an indication of, listen, this is what God wants to do. He's so concerned about the human race that he is going to put his son in you, and his son is going to change the world. And so Mary stands there and begins to hear this and obviously asks the question, how can this be? I can't make this happen precisely. You see, when God begins to reveal his will and his favor upon you, it's not based on the merit of how well you've been doing. Which is the way we view favor, right? Like, man, God's favored me. It's because I've been making some great choices and decisions. So then what we do is every time we make a mistake, we are bound under guilt and condemnation and shame, and then we find ourselves trying to chase down the favor of God. But actually, he's not stopped by your inability to perform, but he's willing to let you know what he's doing, but he doesn't stop there. This is what I love about the story, and this is the three things that I want to get to when you're favored. Number one, it says this, that when the angel comes to Mary and says, "Hello, favored woman," and then it says, "Don't be afraid." You see, you have to understand that the first thing is that because you have Jesus in your life, you are instantly put in a place of favor. That you have now access to who God is, to what he's doing, and that favor means that he wants to reveal to you what he's doing. Which the important part about that is that fear has to be destroyed. Because we as mere mortals, when God begins to reveal his plan, what does the enemy do? He immediately brings fear. When you're at the grocery store and all of a sudden you want to step out and do something and maybe pay for somebody or share something with somebody, and don't be weird about it, but you know what I mean. And you immediately get afraid. You're like, oh, what if I do it? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, and the whole world's gonna cave in and they're gonna yell at me and the whole store's gonna ban me. Isn't it funny how we like jump to the worst conclusion? The earth is desperate for the salvation grace of God. And we are favored, which means God has revealed to us his plan, which is love to all. And if we hold it back and we allow fear to stop us, we stop the will of God through us. So the first indication of being favored is fear has to go. The second is that when God begins to reveal his favor, his plan, his will in your life, he doesn't just expect you to figure it out. The Bible says that when he told Mary that she was going to be pregnant with the Son of the living God, he didn't just go, yep, good, awesome, out. He was like, I know you can't do it. That's why I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to actually put something inside of you that the world needs. So not only does God reveal his will to us, but he then puts in us the Holy Spirit that begins to give us what he wants to give to others. So you're going to find that the closer you get to being, you're going to find that the more you say yes to his will, the more he empowers you to do it. And so the New Testament is filled with stories of men and women who stepped out and the Holy Spirit shifted everything and gave them things that they didn't even know they could do. I didn't have that wisdom. That wisdom was above my pay grade. I've never studied that out, but God just gave it to me. I just got some understanding. I got a word for you. I can see in your situation what God's doing. I believe that God wants to heal. And no matter how you feel and what the doctors have said, I feel it in my bones. That's the Holy Spirit putting something in you that was always designed for others, because you've been favored. He's revealed his will, which is that he loves everyone and he wants to use you to show them. And it's not just a matter of going, oh brother, I just want to let you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I love that verse, but I think we use it as this thing that we just throw out. But God never meant his will to be ambiguous. He meant his followers to step into a specific situation and give what they got to an individual so that their life could be changed. That's the Holy Spirit. You don't see that word for wisdom for somebody was not, they didn't need it. That prophetic word that you felt, God spoke to you about someone and what was going on in their life, it was because they need it, not just because you're just like, God loves you. And number three, verse 36 says, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. You are going to see differently what other people can't see. Because when God reveals his will, which means you're favored, which the moment you have Jesus in your boat, you got favor. And it's not a matter on how much you do, but on him revealing what he wants to do. And then you narrowing the gap from you saying, from you hearing to you saying yes. And then it shifts everything. So when you're favored, your perspective has to change. You have to realize that it's not impossible. Go ahead, tell me. Tell me what's impossible, and then I'm going to tell you what I know my God can do. It's all good. Go ahead and tell me what the worst situation is, and I'm going to tell you that I know five people who had the same situation, and they said, "What now?" And I said, "But God." Have you heard of the big butts in the Bible? They're crazy. They're so big. They've been injecting all sorts of stuff in them. That was funny. I thought it was funny. Some of you guys are like, "Huh? What does that mean?" It's all right. Your perspective shifts. So, favor, and I love how my wife and I view things differently. Like, I've kind of always viewed it as like, you know, getting in front of the line. Like, if you're Magic Mountain or you're at Disneyland or one of those, man, you want to get in the front of the line, right? So what you want to do is, like, this is like what I do, is I look around for anybody that I might know that works there so I can go shake their hand and they can, like, put me up front. And so I leave my wife because I get irritated in long lines and I'm like, I got to work. It's like when there's traffic on the road. If you're like me, even if it takes me longer, I like to go the long way around because I'm still moving. Somebody help a brother out, right? Like, and when my wife's like, "No, honey, let's just stay here." And I'm like, "No, I don't care if it's longer. I'm moving. I hate sitting still." So I'm out. I'm like working it. And so finally, like, they're like, "Hey, we'll take you to the front." I'm like, "Favor. Drive it like it's stolen." And so then I go back to my wife and I'm like, "Babe, we get to go to the front of the line." She's like, "No, that's cheating." I'm like, "No, that's a favor of the Lord, babe. We got to take it. We got to, like, own this stuff." But you see, if you think of favor as that, then what ends up happening is when stuff doesn't feel like it's working out, you feel like you've somehow lost the favor of God. But actually, the favor of God is even in the midst of a difficult situation, which God was introducing to Mary. "Oh, favored one, weird things are going to happen to you, and people are going to reject you, but be excited." So whether you're in the back of the line, the front of the line, or in the middle of the line, or in the hard place, or the best place, you can see what God is doing, and you can then realize that where you're standing is for the people that are around you. So then let the Holy Spirit empower you. Let the Holy Spirit give you specifics. So I end with this. I conclude with this. If that's the case, if that's what favor is, and I want to, and this is kind of what I felt like Mary did, is I want to cultivate an environment-rich place for favor to happen. God's going to give it to you. But you can cultivate your environment where the distance between hearing and yes begins to shorten. We talk to our kids all the time about attitude. About saying, "Will you forgive me?" You see, what God is doing is, if you're favored, he's revealing his will. And sometimes his will is that you're the first to say, "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Don't take so long." A favor-rich environment is that I am becoming quicker and quicker to say yes to what God is saying to me. So yes, that means sometimes I gotta respond outside of the way I feel. Because Mary, honestly, should have responded, hell no. Do you know how weird that sounds? I don't care if you got wings. It ain't happening. And the quicker you can say, Lord, whatever it is, I see what you're doing, and I say yes. I say yes to this. I say yes getting to it quicker, God. I say yes to change. I say yes to giving. I say yes to when I get the nudge rather than like, it's her fault. It's his fault. I begin to step into, God, what are you doing, and how can I shorten the distance to hearing and to saying yes? Because immediately after the angel points it all out to it, what does she say? My mind is blown, and I say yes. Listen, everything about this journey of faith is about God revealing what he wants to do, us learning to say yes, and our mind being blown by how he does it. And the shorter we can distance that, the quicker we begin to see his will going through us and helping others. Because that's the point. Amen? Favor-rich environment, number two. At the end of this whole thing, Mary sings a song. She lifts up her voice and she just begins to declare who God is. There's something about worship. There's something about lifting your voice and just declaring God's goodness and getting out of yourself and your stuff and your thing and well, this is just who I am and I'm just this way. Such a weirdo. And being lost in him, because the faster you get lost, the quicker you say yes, because the more you see who he is and the less you define his existence. Only in these lines can you move. Go ahead. And so Mary, like, it's amazing, right after this takes place, she just busts out in a song. I love worship because it raises my perspective on, rather than all of the things that I'm trying to figure out, just going, God, you can. I'm just going to say yes to you, and I'm going to step into wherever I am in the line and believe that you favored me because you're revealing to me what you want to do, and you've given me the Holy Spirit. Hello, that is awesome all within itself. So I'm favored because I got Jesus. I've been empowered because I got the Holy Spirit, and I'm able to do your will because you love the world and you want to do it through me. And so I'm just going to be a person that says yes all the time, like Mary. So I don't know if you saw this, and I love the Bible because you can like read a story like 1,000 times. I've studied the Greek and the Hebrew at different sections of when I was in Bible college, and I never really saw this. And I was like, what? My church is going to love this. I want to close with this verse because Paul, he reminds me of Chad, our executive pastor. He just kind of puts it all within this like nugget where I'm like, ah! Chad's like, boom. You're like, oh my gosh, that was so weighty. And I was like, yay, woo! And here's what it is. Check it out. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. This sums up my entire message in one little caption. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, insert the word favored us, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we have Jesus. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, not because of our blood, not because of our history, not because of anything else. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure, favor. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who believe in his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has shown his kindness on us along with all his wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, and then God now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ in you, which is to fulfill his good plan. And this is his plan, that at the right time he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance to make everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose, his will, was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves. And when you believe Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us into his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify God.